What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 146, and today we're going to be talking about fasting. We've done podcasts on fasting in the past, but I wanted just to do another one, an updated one. Maybe I'll title it Fasting 101, just all the little details about it, because there are so many misconceptions out there. There are so many people who say fasting is this or fasting is that. So we just want to go through what our definition of fasting is and kind of why we like it, why people do it, why I promote a lot of people do it. And yeah, so Tom, what do you think? We both love to fast, and if we can fast, we definitely promote it to people.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely both do intermittent fasting every day. Generally, I try and fast for 16 hours a day and then eat within an 8-hour window. A few times a week, I'll try and do 24-hour fast. That's where you just eat one meal a day. And yeah, there's tons of health benefits. I mean, it saves a lot of time if you only have to eat one time a day versus four times a day, something along those lines.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I know I specifically have run into people who they're so, I don't know, caught up in the details. So there was this doctor that one time that I heard him. So if people see me, they usually want my opinion on these type of things, you know, working out or fasting, that type of stuff. And a doctor told them that, and I heard them because I was sitting next to them, that 10 calories would break a fast. And they said, because they were like, oh, can I chew gum on a fast? And there are these people who get caught up in the details that it actually prevents them from fasting. So if someone came to you and was like, oh, can I chew gum? What would you say?
I would say yes. Every answer is it depends, and it depends on what you're fasting for. So, I mean, if a doctor is telling you to fast for, 12 hours because they need to run some sort of test, I don't know what would throw off that test. So, I mean, that is a little bit different than, like, kind of what we're talking about with, like, you know, just fasting for health benefits. So, like, that's something I wouldn't really know. Because, like, hey, if you're chewing some, you know, sugary gum, you're probably going to have some sort of insulin response to that, I would imagine, because your brain is going to be processing, hey, I'm eating something sugary, let me kick up the insulin. So it's really hard to tell with that one. I mean, I'm thinking you're not consuming any calories. Like, if you have an insulin response, it's probably going to be very minimal. So I wouldn't really consider it fasting, but I can kind of see how that might be able to break a fast. I know that wasn't a very good answer.
No, that's fine. And to put it in perspective, this doctor wasn't talking about fasting for any sort of lab work. People were talking to him about intermittent fasting. And they were like, oh, I can't go all day without eating. I need to have something in my mouth as far as like chewing, as for a distraction, that type of stuff. And for me, if someone came to me and was like, oh, can I chew gum during a fast, especially if they're doing like a 24 or 48 hour fast, I would say 100% chew gum. If that's what you need to do to do a fast, let's say 24-hour fast, then yeah, chew gum. Because in my opinion, the benefits gained from fasting for 24 hours vastly, vastly outweigh any sort of negative effects that come from chewing gum. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I look at it.
Oh, no, I totally agree. The one thing I wasn't sure of was just, like, there might be a slight insulin response. So, like, I don't know if you would get the most accurate readings from some sort of test. But, yeah, if you're just talking in general, I would completely agree. And I would suggest going for like a mintier gum versus like a bubble gum, because like your body's not going to respond to mint flavoring the same way it would like, you know, sweet, sugary tasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could also see how if you do chew bubble gum, that if there is that insulin response, you're going to get that little dip in blood sugar. So that could probably lead to, you know, you getting some food cravings. So it might not be the best idea to be chewing some like fruity flavored or like some sweet flavored gum anyway. Like you'd want to stick to probably like minty.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Chewing gum, some people, they think it's going to benefit them. And maybe if they chew something minty, it might. But and it's kind of a blessing and a curse because, you know, you are chewing something. You can kind of trick your brain to think that you're eating. But in all actuality, if it does cause an insulin response, like Tom said, it will drop your blood sugar. And then when your blood sugar is a little low and you're not eating anything, your body will tell you to eat. And most likely it's going to tell you to go eat a cookie, go eat a cracker, go eat something fast, go eat something that you're used to. That they're not going to tell you to go eat a steak if you're not prone to this lifestyle. So in that way, chewing gum can kind of, I don't know, counteract the fast or make the fast even harder than it needs to be. And so in that way, I wouldn't chew gum, but you know, you just figure that out. Yeah.
You know, like you can try that yourself. You can figure it out.
And see how your body responds.
And I got super hungry 20 minutes later. It's like, okay, well then don't chew gum.
Don't chew gum.
It's not helping you fast.
Exactly. Yeah. But I wouldn't let that stop you from fasting. And I know a lot of people think like, oh, what can I drink during a fast? So if you're really going to be strict with fasting, I always say drink water, drink tea, or drink black coffee. All of those things are fine in my opinion. What do you think?
I think all of those are fine. I mean, those are all pretty much next to zero calories. I think, you know, coffee and tea, you're getting maybe like 10 calories, you know, like a couple grams of carbs from the coffee or from the tea. But I mean, that's like, that's minimal. That's next to nothing.
Yeah.
Your body is not going to respond to that in any way. And yeah. I think fasting, I mean, caffeine, I think helps a lot with fasting because it helps, it increases fat oxidation. So, like, from that standpoint, like, if you're breaking down your fat, like, you're not going to be seeking out these energy sources. So, I don't know. I always find it easier to fast if I'm drinking black coffee.
Yeah, me too. Caffeine definitely has an appetite suppressive quality to it. It gives you energy. Some people notice, especially when they're new to fasting, is that when they do fast, they get into these lulls, especially around the time they normally eat. They just have low energy. They don't feel that good. And I think a lot of the times that's because their body isn't that just that good at pulling body fat for energy, because that is a skill. And if you eat 24/7 365, which the normal like standard American diet would tell you to do, it tells you 3 full meals and basically 3 snacks throughout the day, your body, if you live that lifestyle, isn't that good at actually using body fat for fuel. So if you go straight into a fast, your body's sitting there, it's 12 o'clock, it's like, hey, where's the food? It doesn't know that it has all this fat and all this calories sitting right there around your stomach, around your legs, around your face, whatever. So that's actually something that caffeine can help with, because it will allow your body to release those body fat stores better than if you just didn't have it.
Yeah. Even though we're saying that, like, that doesn't mean you should be drinking coffee all day, every day, because coffee, like caffeine in general, has a pretty long shelf life. And if you're drinking coffee or tea too late in the day, and that keeps you awake at night, and now it's affecting your sleep, poor sleep is going to lead to you having food cravings instantly when you wake up. So don't, that doesn't mean drink coffee all day. Like, just drink coffee in the morning, maybe like once, like early afternoon. Just don't consume it too close to bedtime, because if you get a poor night's sleep, you're going to be waking up, you're going to be hungry, and you're going to be hungry for like a muffin. You're going to be hungry for something sweet because you're looking for that instant energy. So, yes, coffee does have its benefits, but, you know, it also has its time and place.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, coffee has about a 6-hour half-life. So, if you think if you have a coffee, let's say at 2 o'clock, it's not too late. By 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., you still have about half that coffee in your blood supply. So, that's still enough to keep most people awake. So, just be aware, you know, don't have it. I mean, personally for me, I've taken caffeine for so long, especially around my workouts. I'm pretty I don't know, what is this, tolerant to it? Like, caffeine doesn't do too much to me anymore. Because every time I stop taking caffeine, I actually get really bad headaches. So I'm like fully addicted to it. But I'm fully most aware of that. Yeah, most people are. But for me, I can take it fairly late and I still sleep fine. But if you are sensitive to coffee, like Tom said, be aware of that. But you can still have coffee during a fast. You can still have tea during a fast. What I think really works, and something I tell people to do, I used to call it the salt shot. I don't say that too much anymore because people, it can get interpreted different ways. But what something happens is when your body is, it has the one hunger cue. So like everyone knows it, right? You feel hungry. A lot of the times during a fast, if you can consume some salt, which is really what the salt I recommend is Redmond's Real Salt. So it contains a lot of different minerals within that salt. It's not just sodium, it's not just chloride. But that actually, consuming that salt during those times where you feel hungry, will really curb those appetite cues and make you feel full even though you're not eating food. So I would always recommend during times when you're actually starting to feel hungry, there's no limit on salt, especially any diets that we recommend. I'm never going to tell you to go on a low salt diet. I just won't, because salt's been falsely blamed for a bunch of different diseases like hypertension, even though that's not really the cause of hypertension. Insulin resistant leads to those things. Salt is just kind of a, I don't know, innocent bystander that got caught up in that war. Same thing with fat, same thing with cholesterol. There was never those things never actually caused diseases. It was more, they just kind of got blamed, wrongly blamed. And we have 100 podcasts on that. You can always just check the website for it. But going back to it, just if you have those hunger cues, getting a spoonful or a teaspoon of salt, and this sounds gross, but it works, and you just put it directly into your mouth and you chug some water behind it, it really will make those hunger cues go away and you'll feel a lot better. And you can do that 1, 2, 3 times a day. Every time you start to feel hungry, you can do that. And it'll vastly help with a fast, and especially helps with these elongated, these extended fasts. So I know a lot of people that do 3, 4, 5 day fasts all the time. I've done a 5 day fast. I know Tom's done a 5 day fast. You've done a 5 day fast, right?
Yeah, I've done 5. I think 5 is the longest I've done. I don't think I've done 6 or 7.
Yeah, 5 is the longest I've done it too. And doing those salt shots really help. So that's something I think people really should do. And the more salt, the better, in my opinion. Just keeps you hydrated and keeps you full from just a mental standpoint. It really helps with the fast, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. And one thing about like salt is, I mean, obviously you can overdo it because you can overdo anything. But if you do have too much salt in your body, you'll just sweat out more salt. Like you'll notice like your clothes that you like been sweating, like they'll have like this kind of salt stains on them. So that's one thing you can kind of notice. If your salt levels are a little too high, you'll just have like really salty sweat. But like your body has so many different mechanisms of getting rid of it. So like kind of overdoing it on salt is really hard to do. So I wouldn't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
And one other thing I would recommend, I mean, the whole sauce, the salt shot, damn, that's hard to say.
I know.
Those are disgusting at first. I mean, you get more and more used to them the more you do them. But one thing I do instead, because typically the only time like this whole salt shot, for me at least, has been an issue, is if I'm doing like a 2 or 3 day fast. And if I'm fasting for that long, I'll do some bone broth. Because like, hey, bone broth has a lot of salt, it has all those minerals. Yeah, there's some protein in there that you can kind of debate if that's like breaking your fast. But if I can, if I'm consuming 14 grams of protein a day, like I still think I'm fasting. I don't consider that breaking my fast. Like my body's using those 14 grams of protein like instantly, and it's not having like that big of an effect on my body. So I'll do bone broth instead. It just makes it a little bit more palatable. Just makes it a little bit more flavorful way to get all that salt.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So I should have said that earlier as far as the recommended drinks. I actually recommend, or not that it's recommended, but I allow bone broth as an approved drink. I think that's fine if that's something you're into. A lot of people, like Tom, really likes bone broth. That's just not something I normally do because I've gotten so used to salt shots. They don't gross me out at all. So that's normally how I get my minerals. I just do that. But bone broth is also an awesome way. I don't think bone broth breaks a fast. And if it does break a fast, it breaks it for all of 30 minutes. So it's not a big deal. And if, again, that allows you to do these extended fasts, then it's 100% worth it. And on top of it, bone broth is just very nutritious. We've done a podcast on bone broth. There's just a lot of unique qualities, a lot of unique nutrients in bone broth that a lot of people just never get in their diet. So bone broth is something people should have no matter what, if you're fasting or not. And yeah.
The only thing I would kind of say like against it is like, so a cup of coffee is like 10 calories. A cup of bone broth is going to be like 30 to 50 calories. So if you're consuming like 2 or 3 cups of bone broth, like back to back, I mean, you're probably breaking your fast.
Like, yeah. You know, that's if like you're drinking gallons of bone broth. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So it's just kind of, I don't want to say like, yeah, bone broth is like, it's perfectly fine. It's like, yeah, if you're just having a little bit of it, it's fine, but you can definitely overdo it. And there's so much variance in like the different way people make bone broth. Some bone broths have a lot of fat. The way I typically do it, it's mostly just protein, just like collagen protein. There's like a little bit of fat in it, but it kind of just depends on it. But yeah, I mean, like, if you're consuming like a normal amount, it's fine. But if you're consuming, you know, an entire like mason jar full of it, like, I don't know, maybe not.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And again, I guess the devil's in the details, right? So a lot of the store-bought bone broths, say that four times fast, geez Louise. But a lot of those aren't going to contain a lot of fat. They're going to be very protein dominant. And as you can tell, when you pour them out, they're very, just real liquidy. Sometimes the homemade bone broths, especially if you're cooking down bones, they're going to be, like Tom will know, the entire top of your bone broth will be literally a half inch of fat. So in that sense, if that's a bone broth you're drinking, then yeah, you are going to get a ton of calories from the fat. And at that point, it might actually break your fast. But again, I think people really get caught up in the details. I wouldn't care. If you're doing a fast for health reasons, then drinking bone broth is, again, healthy. So again, in my opinion, it's just health on top of health. So go ahead and do it. But if you want to be really a stickler with the details, then yeah, drinking a fat-dominant bone broth would break a fast. So I think you're right.
Yeah, when we're talking about breaking a fast, it's not like a light switch. Like, fasting isn't like it's either you're fasting or you're not fasting. It's kind of more like a spectrum. It's more like a dimmer switch. It's like, how much are you fasting and how much aren't you? Because a lot of it, it's not like autophagy ever stops. Like, that's when you're breaking down cell parts for, like, different amino acids. Like, autophagy is always occurring. But is it always occurring at the same rate? Like, no, it's not. And, like, protein's going to be, like, one of the major factors there. So, like, if you're not consuming any protein at all and you're, like, doing things like exercising, autophagy is going to be sky high because, like, your body needs all these amino acids and that's the way it gets them. Same thing with, like, body fat. Like, if you're using body fat for fuel, well, if you're not consuming any fat and you're also exercising or doing something like that, your body's going to be using a lot more fat. Your body's always using fat for energy. It just depends on, like, how much. So if you're really trying to, like, lose a lot of weight, you do some exercise while you're fasted, your body's going to be burning a lot of body fat.
Yeah, for sure.
So it just kind of just depends. Like, these things are always occurring. It just depends on, like, what the rate is. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's one thing I don't really like about fasting is it's kind of, the whole spectral issue is like, well, you're technically, like, I don't know, like, because autophagy and body fat are, like, the two main reasons people fast. And it's like, well, those two things are always occurring. It just depends on, like, what rate.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And we probably should touch on autophagy. So that is, like Tom said, that's kind of a cellular recycling process. So your body goes through and breaks down either old or damaged cells and cellular components and reuses them, right? And that's one that's one of the huge benefits of fasting, because it's just, well, it's very natural for humans to fast. If you think about the modern world, we have a grocery store in every corner. We can go on our phone and I can get 10,000 calories of food delivered to my door within 10 minutes. And that's just, at least in America, that's just, it's a very unique situation for this time. You know, the last 50 to 100 years, the amount of food we have access to has skyrocketed. So people can eat 24/7, 365, and technically never really fast because they're always eating. And that's a problem. Like, our body is never designed to be like that. Our body is very well equipped to fast. You know, if you look around, it's not hard to see. Our bodies are very good at storing body fat. And that is just so much energy, so much just calories that our body can use all the time. But unfortunately, the way just the standard American diet has promoted eating and promoting snack consumption all day, it never really allows your body to use those just stores. And on top of that, it never allows your body to really go through that repair mechanism of autophagy. And Tom kind of has a saying with a car and a running engine. You want to just say that?
You can't fix an engine while it's running.
Yeah, so you have to kind of give it a break and allow autophagy to occur. So that's one of the reasons why people see so many health benefits from fasting, because they have these old injuries, whether physical, mental, or even in your gut, those type of things. And our body's great at healing, but if you never just slow down and stop eating for a little bit, your body never has a chance to really adequately recover from the daily stresses we all go through. And we all know in today's world, it's way more stressful than it's ever been. We have physical stress, we have mental stress, we have chemical stress. We're exposed to all these different things, EMFs, all this type of stuff that our body's never really been exposed to. So giving your body some downtime and allowing autophagy to occur, you're letting your body go through and just repair all these different injuries that you might not even know you have, that's one of the huge benefits of fasting and one of the reasons why I promote it. Not even talking about weight loss. It's really just about getting healthy, because once you get healthy, the weight will come off.
Don't you think? Definitely. Yeah. It's a lot about just like lowering insulin and the autophagy is like the two biggest things. You lower the insulin, the body fat starts coming off, and all this autophagy, you're doing so much repair in your body. Our bodies are really smart when it comes to repairing itself. So when it starts breaking down different cells and tissues for parts, it's not going to start breaking down your muscles. Hey, if you fast for like 6 months, yeah, eventually your muscles are going to start getting broken down. But if you're just fasting for, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours here and there, your body isn't going to be going after valuable tissue first. It's going to be looking at, okay, where are these old damaged cells? Okay, I don't need these anymore. Let me break these down. It's going to be doing that type of stuff. It's not going to be, you know, like if you're snowed in a log cabin, the first thing you're going to do if you need firewood is you're going to be like, hey, there's a broken chair over there. Let me use that. You're not going to go chop down your front door for firewood on day one. You know, like, hey, if shit gets that bad, maybe you'll do that eventually. But, like, your body's smart. It's not going to use the valuable stuff first. It's going to use the stuff that's not that valuable. It's going to break that stuff down for parts before it goes for the valuable stuff. So as long as you're not fasting for, like, 6 months at a time, then you're fine.
Well, I think another thing, another aspect I wanted to talk about as far as from a fasting standpoint is the complete opposite side of it, and that's feasting. So I have, there's a client that I work with for a really long time. And she's, honestly, she's like a fasting stud. And she very routinely does 3, 4, 5 day fasts. I'm talking once, twice a month at least. And, which is great. Like, she really likes it. She says it makes her feel better. And it's not really about losing weight at this point. It's more of about fitting it into her lifestyle and just feeling good. So I'm all for it. If that's your thing, I think you should 100% do that. But if you're going to be fasting that much, eventually you will tap into muscle, and eventually if you're not weight training, you will start to sacrifice some muscle mass if you're not properly eating when you're not fasting. And at that point, you have to make sure that you get enough protein in to really recover from these fasts. So if you're going to be fasting a lot, I really recommend feasting. Don't fast, and then the days you eat like a bird and eat a salad and maybe a couple almonds. I just don't think that's smart.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, people do fall in love with fasting. I mean, for a couple reasons. Because, like, hey, like you were just talking about with that client, like, hey, you do lose body fat. You lose fat pretty quick. Like, it's a great little tool. So a lot of people like that benefit. You produce a lot of ketones while you're fasting. And ketones, they're like, they're rocket fuel for your brain. You feel smarter. You have so much more energy. So, like, from that standpoint, you feel great while you're doing it. But, like, you were just talking about, like, we still have all these nutritional needs. Like, you still need a bunch of amino acids. You still need essential fatty acids. You still need vitamins and minerals. So you still need to make sure that you're hitting all your, like, daily requirements when it comes to all this stuff. So if you're just fasting all the time and you're never really feasting, then, yeah, nutritional deficiencies are going to pop up.
Yeah, and eventually you're going to pay that price. So just be aware of that. I'm very pro-fasting. I think everybody should do it at some point in their lives. And everyone should implement some sort of intermittent fasting into just their daily routines. You know, 8-hour window. Like Tom said, do OMAD every once in a while, which is, you know, one meal in 24 hours. I think all those things are super healthy. And it's honestly the way humans are designed to eat. We're not supposed to eat like cows. We're not supposed to graze all day. That whole narrative as far as snacking and eating all the time is just, it's really led to a huge decline in overall health and across the entire planet. So it just, fasting is great. That's why I want to do this podcast, because I think people, like I said kind of earlier on, they get caught up in the details like, oh, can I have gum? Oh, can I have coffee? Oh, can I have tea? Don't worry about it. Just fast and do what you have to do to get through the day. And then eventually you'll get into a rhythm that works for you. But I think the end goal should be to incorporate some sort of fasting or intermittent fasting into your daily life.
Yeah, definitely. And a couple signs to kind of notice if you are maybe fasting too much. I mean, some big signs would be like, maybe, you know, if you notice that you're losing hair or you're like your fingernails are brittle, that's a pretty much a good sign that you're not consuming enough protein or not absorbing protein. But that's kind of like further down the line. Some other signs, like if you're doing too much fasting, would be if you're colder than most other people around you. I mean, because like the thermogenic effect of protein will keep you warm. So if you're cold and everybody else is like hot, like you're probably not consuming enough protein, or you're probably not consuming enough food overall. If your energy levels aren't where they should be, like that's another sign that you're probably not consuming enough. So, like, those are kind of some, like, warning signs to kind of point out, like, if you are, like, doing too much fasting. I mean, do you have anything else to add to that?
Well, no, there is somebody I know not that I want to give too much detail, but she is an athlete. She does do a lot of like triathlons, and she's in good shape for sure, but she's thin and she always complains about being cold, and not like kind of cold, but like freezing. And, you know, this is kind of a touchy subject for a lot of people. You know, we're all on our own health journey when at the end of the day, but I really think she could probably triple the amount of food she eats, and specifically the amount of protein she eats, and she would feel a lot better and she'd be stronger. And I doubt she would really gain that much weight.
Yeah. I agree with you. When I first went low carb, I increased my calories by about 1500 a day, and I lost 15 pounds that first month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the whole calories in, calories out model, I know people believe it hook, line, and sinker, but there's a lot more to it just than that. It's not that simple. And I think a lot of people are really kind of afraid that if they eat more, that means like their body's going to store it. And no, there's so many ways that we can get rid of calories other than just storing them. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and body heat is like one of the biggest ones.
Oh, yeah. Body heat is definitely one of the biggest ones. And yeah, if you look on the podcast, you can just, I mean, on the website, you can just search keto. We've done a podcast on how the ketogenic diet allows you to waste calories. You can even breathe out calories. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's 100% true. So you can go back and check that on the website. But yeah, I don't think you should be scared of fasting. And I definitely don't think you should be scared of feasting if you're eating a proper diet. And yeah, that's basically all I really wanted to say about fasting. Did you have anything else you really wanted to add?
The only other thing that I would add would just be like there's like two categories of people that shouldn't fast or might want to be a lot more careful when it comes to fasting. That would be like pregnant or breastfeeding women. I mean, because you're eating for two, so your nutritional needs are much, much higher. So if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, limiting your like your food intake is not a good idea, especially when it comes to like protein, like because your body can store carbs or create carbs. Your body can store fat. But like protein is the one thing that your body just doesn't really store. So definitely make sure you're consuming enough protein, and pretty much I think pregnant or breastfeeding women should not be fasting. The other type would be like if you have an eating disorder, and that's pretty much what we were just talking about with like fasting too hard. So if you have a history with anorexia or bulimia, this could just like kind of lead to more disordered eating. So anorexia is, you know, an eating disorder. Fasting is not, even though they're really closely related. So if your fasting turns into anorexia, then maybe this practice isn't for you, or just isn't right for you at this time.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really good point. Yeah, I forget about those fringes, but you're right. That's 100% a thing. And anorexia, like I said, you know, if you're going to be fasting, you need to be feasting to actually replenish the body. Anorexia is basically when you fast and you never replenish, and eventually you just wither away.
Yeah, and I guess another eating disorder would be like binge eating disorder, which is kind of the same thing. But what I would say the difference is like a binge eating disorder is when you break your fast with like three Domino's pizzas.
Uh-huh.
Whereas what we're talking about, like a feast, was like, hey, I'm going to eat a bunch of eggs, you know, some bone broth, that type of thing. Like if you're breaking your fast with healthy food, then you're doing the right thing. If you're breaking your fast by going to McDonald's and ordering a number 1, 2, and 3, then now you're probably not doing it right.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, really, I'm glad you said that, because those little details, people, yeah, like I said earlier, devil's in the details. So that's actually a really good point. I'm glad you added that. But yeah, so that's basically all we want to talk about, fasting. I love it. I think more people should do it. And don't be scared of the little details. So that's why I wanted to do this podcast. But you can find everything. We've done a ton of stuff on fasting. So if you go to the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, you'll find a lot of more information there. And we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.